The New Brunswick Archaeology Podcast, featuring your hosts, Gabe Reinick and Ken Holyoke.
Podcast. I'm Gabe Reinick in Southern New England, and I'm joined, as I am just about every fortnight, by Ken Holyoke in Lethbridge, Alberta. How are you, Ken?
I'm just fine, Gabe, and I am, if the listener can't hear it, I'm going to paint them a picture of what it's like in Lethbridge today, and that is that...
What's left of Ken's hair is flowing in the breeze.
Flowing in the breeze, and as of about 5 minutes ago, and no longer, there were two oversized recycling bins from somebody, one of my neighbor's houses, that were going down the middle of the road. They have now disappeared, as has all of the recycling that was in them, as it continues to the east. And whoever is at the end of the row here in the cul-de-sac is probably now the proud owner of several more recycling bins. In fact, the wind has been so bad lately that the school that my kids attend has erected a new fencing system to protect the children from the scourge of tumbleweeds that are blowing in from the adjacent field because kids were getting hit by them when they were out playing on the playground. And listener, I'm going to take some pictures and a short video when I go pick up my kids here in about half an hour so that you too can experience what it's like when it's 80 kilometer an hour winds in West Lethbridge.
Yeah, well, I think it's good that the school has figured out a way to protect against tumbleweeds, because in Alberta, there's absolutely no way for a school to protect against measles. So it's good to know that exactly. Child safety is on on the up and up there.
Yeah, they might not have human rights, and they might not have access to vaccines, but boys, the tumbleweeds won't get them. Yeah.
Well, that's good. But the speaking of rolling down the road, Ken, the reason we're having this brief intrusive feature is to discuss rolling down the road to ESAF, which I did... Yeah. A couple of days ago, I rolled back.
Yeah, and you guys, so Gabe, the listener won't know this, but Gabe, you took a party wagon down to ESAF.
Two party wagons this year
of undergraduates, graduate students, postdocs, colleagues, recent graduates, all that fun stuff.
Yep, that's right. And you might as well just sort of start off by saying the students all did fantastically well. Very proud of the UNB-UNE contingent. We had, and that included Emily Maillet winning the student poster award, which is very exciting.
Yeah, that's incredible. So you had UNB contingent, and then you picked up Arthur Anderson at UNE and some of his students as well?
That's right, yep, and headed on down to Lake George. Peyton, Marissa, Matt, and Taylor did a poster as well. And Josh Cummings, friend of the show, gave a poster.
Excellent.
And Emily Maye and Lazy McPhail did a session on gender, which was great.
Awesome. And so who are we going to hear from? And listener, you think the audio quality of the studio audio quality has improved. We now have all new field recording equipment that we're using.
We
and
do.
So Gabe, assuming that it actually worked, what will the listener be hearing?
Well, my approach here was it's going to be fairly succinct because listener, I am increasingly busy at ESAF meetings. I am the I am the president elect of ESAF, which is one of those jobs that means a lot of running
and actually
around.
Just, before we get too far, listener,
you want to play Hail to
ESAF
the Chief,
is an acronym for Eastern States Archaeological Federation, if you have not heard us talk about ESAF before. So yes, so President-elect Gabe, you got some more duties.
Well, except you don't really. Your duties are mostly being there while other people do the real work.
Okay.
And in this case, the conference organizer, Dave Leslie, did the lion's share of the work on getting this all together, but also Mandy Ranslow, who's the current president. And the listener is going to hear from Mandy, discussing ESAF and also saying where the next ESAF meeting is going to be.
Okay. And do we know where that is?
Connecticut.
Connecticut. And whereabouts in Connecticut?
That's TBD.
That is TBD.
The Connecticut Society has committed to hosting it, and they're going to look around at like hotel prices and that kind of thing.
Okay.
I have suggested we hold it in a bar called Hot Shots in Willimantic, but that that has been shot down, I understand. There's a very small chance it'll be at Hot Shots.
And so you're doing all this planning stuff. And so as the president-elect, do you get carried into the final banquet on a planken? Or how is this managed?
Well, so Ken, there I was sipping a drink at the poster session wearing Bill Farley's name tag as a joke. When I was informed that that I was supposed to sit at the head table. So I think people might think Bill Farley was there, but what can you do? And no, I was not carried in or out of anything, which is a real victory at an ESAF meeting.
Exactly.
So that was good. Go
ahead.
Do you want to hear what we're going to hear from?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Oh, good. So we're going to hear from Linda Seminario, who is the very impressive archaeologist for Delaware Parks. Okay. And she's also the social media coordinator for ESAF.
Oh, excellent.
So she's going to plug the socials so you can get up to date on that. We're going to hear from a couple of people who presented, including Zach Singer, known to the pod, past president, yep. Zach Singer. And
he is the state archaeology for Maryland. Is that right? State archaeologist for Maryland?
State terrestrial archaeologist.
Right, right.
You'll never guess what they call his assistant. the extraterrestrial archaeologist.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. But and we're also going to hear from Sydney Dufresne, who Salve Regina University also brings a large contingent of students.
Okay.
There were 30
no relation
students.
To Andy Dufresne of the Shawshank Redemption movie.
I knew there was a question I forgot to ask, Ken. and there were 30 students at this year's ESAF.
Wow. Hey, that's great. Like, I mean, that statistically lowers the age median of ESAF from, you know, by about 100 years, I think. Since the last time I went to one.
Yeah, Ken, I would actually say that it is the presentations were sort of dominated by 30-year-old professionals. It's a different meeting.
That's fantastic. Like, I mean, my experience at the Plains Anthropology Conference last fall that was hosted here in Lethbridge was that, you know, it is ESAF West basically, right? Mm-hmm, but it was dominated by students, right? You know, there were a lot of senior academics there, but it's really been geared, my understanding is, in the last few years to be a student conference an opportunity for students to really kind of show their things. So
yeah, absolutely. And I also just want to say, I mean, the one of the things about ESAF is the senior folks really are pretty fantastic with the students. You know, so the amount of feedback a student can get from a senior archaeologist they've never met before at an ESAF meeting is really, really high, which is great. Yeah. You know, and so like for the poster presentations, you know, it's a great opportunity. Like the students, you know, have your John Lothrops and your Art Spieces and your Dick Bovaires and all these guys coming up and really giving substantive feedback on the work, which is hugely valuable at that. I mean, for any of us actually get those guys, you know, feedback on our work, but at that stage, it's really helpful.
Yeah. And so Gabe, we're in fraught political times these days, and there have been tensions between our two great nations for much of 2025. And this is the first ESAF that's been held since some rhetoric coming out of the United States from the president. What I need to know is, was there a Canada-U.S. friendship gathering, and will we hear about that at all, or can you enlighten us about the mood? Are we all still friends at ESAF? How were Canada-U.S. relations at the conference?
Well, appropriately enough, Ken, the hotel the conference was at actually is on the same campus as Fort William Henry, which is a Seven Years' War fort. So we had things set for the beginning to handle this, but the there was in fact a Canadian American Friendship Party. It is not held in a hotel suite with a bathtub full of beer anymore.
Imagine that.
Because along with getting board insurance, we decided we should start doing things that would make us not need to use that board insurance.
That's probably fair.
But yeah, so there is a bar and the cup was drunk from. So that was good.
Excellent. Yeah. Yep. So while it's not in a hotel room, do they still do the Canadians bring beer across the border to bring to the party, or no? Okay.
We did not, unfortunately. I mean that tradition is missed, but I think just bars often don't want you to BYOB.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point, actually. Yeah.
No, yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That's completely fair. I mean, you can probably get like Molson Canadian or a Moose Lager at or Keith's or something like that. So
yeah. And that maybe is what happened. I mean, and it's also possible that in the future, what we'll do is just slip some American money to a sympathetic bartender and pour out one of the Canadian beers. There. But and then some other. Other highlights. Well, I think they'll enjoy the interviews. We've got some information just about that. But it was really the meeting spanned basically the Pleistocene to the Revolutionary War. So huge.
That's fantastic.
Scope of research there. And as always, it was really good to catch up with folks. ESAF, after having a period of financial trouble, is no longer in financial crisis. Attendance is up. It's we were somewhere in the 120, 130 range, I believe.
Oh, that's actually quite big for an ESAF conference.
It is, yeah. So it's, I guess where I would sort of leave my thoughts on the conference before I let other people tell you about it is that it really does feel like, I know we've talked on this show, Ken, that we're kind of in the what feels like a golden age of Northeast archaeology. That was really what this ESAF meeting felt like. It was, things are good right now in Northeast archaeology.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's good news to hear. And listeners, so you will enjoy these interviews, but one of the things that you'll note is that this is an intrusive feature. This is the first one this season. So if you haven't listened to the podcast back catalog, these are just shorter episodes where we highlight our work in the field or at a conference. And so no hit pieces today, no prize read, but we always welcome your emails and your posts or feedback, and we've got some exciting news coming up. We've been watching YouTube numbers tick up, and Gabe, the reason I had to put a stop on you buying those golden stickers is that we're gonna have to actually just tweak them for not just a 50th episode. I think they're gonna have to say 20K, Gabe.
Are we headed towards 20K, Ken?
We are closing in on it. It is it is within our grasp, and I think that 2025, by the end of this year, we will see the 20K ticker roll over.
I cannot wait for that, Ken. We're gonna have to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, Ken, I've never jumped out of a cake before.
Stay tuned for May 2026 in Canmore as Gabe emerges from a cake at a bar in downtown Canmore.
The one other thing on the ESAF note, Ken, if just do a quick word of thanks as well to John Lothrop, the New York State Museum, very generously gave the students and us a tour. And if the listener hasn't been to New York State Museum, they have the Revolutionary War gunship that was recovered at Ground Zero in New York. Restored in, like, you can see the gunship being restored.
I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, it's incredibly cool.
Wow.
And like, you can look at the conservator who clearly wants to swear, not swearing, as he tries to reassemble this thing in front of you. So many thanks to John for that tour. And also, would really like to thank the folks in the UMaine Northeast Archaeology Group. So Bonnie Newsom, Deirdre McGrath, and colleagues who gave us a tour of the collection at South Stevens Hall, and then coordinated our visit to the Hudson Museum. So really appreciate all those folks do to make the journey from New Brunswick to Lake George a true adventure.
Very, very exciting. Well, that's great to hear. And listener, we will talk to you soon. Got lots of exciting episodes coming down the pike. And so stay tuned and reach out. NewBrunswickArchaeology@gmail.com. New Brunswick Archaeology, all one word. Archaeology spelled ARCHAEOLOGY. Find us on Instagram at new_Brunswick_archaeology. And you can also like and follow us on those channels, on YouTube channels, and we are now on LinkedIn. So check us out, reach out, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, listener.
I'm joined by Linda Seminario, and she is at ESAF from Delaware. How are you, Linda?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Gabe?
I'm doing well, thank you. And how's your meeting been so far?
Oh, it's been great. I've really been enjoying myself. ESAF is one of the friendliest meetings there is, honestly. Yeah. Everyone's always so nice.
Yeah, I think so, too. And we're in beautiful Lake George. Have you done anything around here today?
I got to go on a really awesome tour of Fort William Henry.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and I've gone out to the lake a few times just to look it over. You know, it's a very nice lake.
Yes, it is.
You know,
absolutely.
It's good. It has really nice vistas.
It does. And you presented today.
I did.
Could you tell us about it?
Yeah. So I did some work through my job with the state of Delaware. It was a salvage archaeology project. And I was really talking about how we can better use salvage archaeology projects as a form of public archaeology to kind of educate the public on the things that are destroyed when we are, you know, doing construction and not thinking about what sites are already there.
Excellent. You had like, what was it, 32 meters of destruction?
Oh,
was it,
yeah.
Was that how much it was?
About 36 meters.
36 meters of destruction.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It happens, though, you know?
Totally.
And it was a really good learning experience for everyone involved. And I think you need to look at the bright side of life or else you're going to be very sad.
Exactly. And speaking of the bright side, you're also the social media coordinator for ESAF.
I am.
Among other tasks.
I am. I have my hand in many pies.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm the social media coordinator for ESAF. So if you guys are interested in checking out what ESAF has to offer, we have a Facebook and an Instagram. It's Eastern States Archaeological Federation.
Okay.
Yeah. And we also have a YouTube channel where we have really awesome lectures up. So if you guys want to see some cool lectures about grant writing or radiocarbon dating or finding a job in academia, we have lectures on those three things.
Fantastic. And more to come, though.
And more to come. Yeah, we're organizing some really cool ones. So you're not going to want to miss it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Linda.
Of course. Yeah, no problem.
All right, I'm joined by Zach Singer, who is the Maryland State Terrestrial Archaeologist. That's right?
That's correct.
His assistant is the extraterrestrial archaeologist for the joke we've used every year.
As opposed to the underwater archaeologist.
Oh, right. And what did you present on this year, Zach?
I presented on the Maryland Fluted Point Survey and recent investigations that are built out of that survey.
Yep.
So both finding and recording fluted points from across Maryland, working with avocational archaeologists to record fluted points that they found, and then following up and doing excavations on some of the sites that I can gain access to.
Perfect, yeah. And one of the real themes that came out, I think, in that session, or I don't know if it's a session exactly, but those cluster of papers about Paleonian stuff at this meeting was how important working with avocationals is.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the people who are finding artifacts all around wherever they are, in their backyards.
Yep.
And there's only so many professional archaeologists, very few. And so those collaborations with people who are interested in finding artifacts and learning about them and studying them, that's what really helps professional archaeologists, is
Absolutely.
Reaching out to those people.
Yep, that's great. And I really enjoyed your talk. And tell us, what have you done here in Lake George?
Lake George has been great. I've seen a lot of really interesting talks, both stuff on early people in all across Eastern North America, all the way up to battlefield archaeology with metal detectors. So learning about how all sorts of types of archaeology can be studied in Eastern North America.
Yeah, great. I think we're Pleistocene to Rev War this year?
I think that's right.
Not too bad. All right. Well, thanks, Zach. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks, Gabe.
Thank you. So I'm here with Emily Drakeo, who is a PhD student at McGill. And Emily, of course, is a UNB alum, because the listener will remember that she was on for a full-length feature. But she continues to be one of our Wonder alums and is a PhD student now at McGill. How are you, Emily?
I'm doing great. How are you, Gabe?
Doing well. Thank you very much. How's your meeting been so far?
It's been excellent. I presented on the first day on the gender panel that was organized by UNB students Emily and Lacey. Lacey couldn't be here. She was sick, but she was definitely there in spirit. I felt her energy throughout the whole presentation.
You heard her labored breathing on, yeah. The, on the video presentation.
Yeah, poor Lacey, but... they organized an excellent panel on gender and archaeology, and Maddie McAllister was the discussant. I got to present with Nicole as well, and that has been very nice. Since my first ESAF, there was only four women presenting, so it's been nice to see that more women are presenting and
absolutely
coming into the space.
Totally. It was probably almost half this year, maybe fully half?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I didn't do the count this time.
Okay, we'll have to look.
I got jaded the first time I did, so this time I was like, you know what, I'm just going to observe.
And so, speaking of that session, what did you present on?
Yeah, so I presented on, I think the title was White Widows, Black Bondswomen.
Okay.
And it was looking at... a specific case of a widowed loyalist enslaver in New Brunswick, and how she enslaved a woman named Dorothy, a black woman named Dorothy, and her children. So I was looking at their relationship, presenting some preliminary data that I published for my master's thesis on locating their site through archival research and a GIS survey, and then how I'm thinking through the process of leisure, looking comparatively with some sites in the U.S. North to kind of tell us more about what enslaved people did in their leisure and spare time.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great. I enjoyed the paper a lot. I thought Thank it was good. You. It was also quite well received, it seemed like.
I hope so. Yeah. I had a few people come up to me after with some nice questions.
Good. And
I just wanted to present something different that wasn't also the same... like my master's thesis, which I've presented several times.
Which you don't want to see again.
I was thinking of Gabe and Arthur, you know, while I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about, and I was like, you know, they don't need to hear about what I talk about every single time. So we made it a bit different. It was nice to kind of, Arthur told me it was nice to see the progress of where the research is going, which is
absolutely, cool. Yeah. Cool. And have you done anything fun in Lake George? Have you explored it all?
I went on some walks with Nicole.
Great, good.
Yeah, I went to a Christmas store, bought some ornaments.
As one does
while they're here, you know. What else? Make some dinners.
Terrific, yeah. Good. Yeah, well, it's lovely to see you here, and thank you so much for your paper and for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, of course. Always happy to.
Thanks. So I'm joined by Sydney Dufresne, who is a undergraduate at Salve Regina University in Rhode Island. Is that right?
Yes.
Excellent. And you gave an excellent paper today. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so my paper was on geophysical research conducted at Revolutionary War era sites on Aquidneck Island, which is where my university is located in Newport and like the surrounding areas called Aquidneck Island, like southern Rhode Island. And I looked at the Jamestown Windmill site, the Vernon House, the Friends Meeting House site, which is located on the same land as the windmill site, and also the Connecticut Battery, which is all kind of in Jamestown and Newport. And I conducted magnetometry, electrical resistivity, and ground penetrating radar at all of the sites, set up grids. And the thing that was most like important, I would say, from the site is that we found an anomaly at the windmill site that was like a circular. So
very cool.
It's thought to be like the foundation of an earlier windmill, which is pretty cool because it matches up with the historical record that there was an older windmill on the site that was burned down.
Very neat, yeah. So in that windmill, tell us a little bit about the windmill.
So mostly from like the historic record, there's not too much, just kind of like that there was a windmill there. And then they had to build a new one because it burned down.
Fantastic. Okay, great. That seems like a good thing to do when your windmill burns.
Yeah, as they do back Absolutely. In the old times when the wood burns.
Cool. Yes. And there's a good group of Sava here. And what have you enjoyed from the conference so far?
I say like going to all the talks, like learning a bunch of different things from places like all the Revolutionary War battle incident,
yes.
The Richfields one.
Yes.
Those were all very interesting to learn about. And you can kind of connect it to what like I need more information for my paper for like my senior thesis. So it's great to like learn from other people. Like, oh, like my friend that's doing a different house in Newport, she connected that somebody's pot today from the Ridgefield, Connecticut ones matches exactly a pot that she has from the Wampanoag and Hazard House site in Newport.
Very cool.
And so it's cool to like draw connections, then meet people that also want to talk to you about it
great.
That way.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
And everyone's super friendly.
Fantastic. That's great. And have you had a good time in Lake George? Have you explored a little bit, or pretty much changed the conference?
So I pretty much, I've been to like most of the talks. I did kind of go out a little earlier today. We went and explored Fort William Henry, which is really
terrific.
Cool.
Yes, and we should say for the listener, Fort William Henry is almost attached to the hotel. It's on the same campus essentially. Yes,
it was like, you know, just a 1 minute walk from my room.
Yep.
And so that was really cool, like going to explore the fort, and then we went to like the cheesy tour shop downtown.
Oh, cool. Okay. Good.
To get a postcard, you know.
Fantastic. All right. Well, and this is your second ESAF.
Yes.
And your first one was last year?
Yes.
Terrific. Okay. And have you been enjoying the student aspect of it, meeting other students, interacting with students?
Yeah. Like, it's so nice to be able to, like, kind of see people my age, too,
yes.
Which is great.
Yes.
And kind of connect. Like, I was talking to people from New Brunswick about their site, and we just exchanged, like, stickers.
Oh, excellent. Good. Okay. Fantastic.
That was great. And just, like, seeing what everybody else is studying and, like, what their project is about.
So. Terrific. Thank you so much, Sydney.
Thank you.
All right, I'm joined by Mandy Ransel, who's the president of ESAF. How are you, Mandy?
I'm doing well.
Good. How are you enjoying the meeting so far?
It's been phenomenal. It's been great vibes, wonderful people, awesome time.
Fantastic. And thank you for all of your work on pulling this together.
Oh, thank you. But I did hardly any work. David Leslie, Tim Abel, a lot of other people put a lot of time and effort into this, and they nailed it. They did a great job.
Okay, well, if the listener could see how exhausted Mandy looks right now, they would know that she also has been doing a lot of work to put this together. But we wanted you to talk a little bit about the organization. So, where are we meeting next year?
So we're going to be in Connecticut next year.
Fantastic.
We're not sure exactly where. Right. We're looking at a couple different cities. We're looking at affordability and travel and whatnot. We're looking at early to mid-November of next year.
Okay.
So we'll get details out as quick as we know them.
That sounds great. And Mandy, at the beginning, I did not say what you do for a job because it always has a lot of words in it. And I was wondering if you could do this. I don't screw it up.
So I am an archaeologist. Yes. I work in cultural resource management, as we call it in the U.S., and I am an archaeologist at the Connecticut Department of Transportation. So
fantastic.
I do compliance with federal and state historic preservation laws for transportation projects.
Excellent. My Canadian students will recognize Mandy for the excellent paper she wrote in Northeastern Anthro.
Oh my gosh,
about,
people still read that?
Well, they do in my class, Mandy. So it's much appreciated. It's a great paper.
Oh, thank you.
Any other notes about ESAF? We're working on increasing student enrollment.
Yeah, we had a great board meeting last night where we talked about initiatives that were better ways to support students to attend the meeting and to be able to finance it. And we are also going to see what we can do to reach out more to our avocational community, too, to get them involved. Our society was really built on a lot of avocational involvement, and while we still do have that, we want to make sure we don't lose it.
Absolutely.
We want to encourage it.
Yeah, I was really thrilled. I think there was that block of, you know, like three Paleo-Indian papers that all just made it clear that to know anything about the Pleistocene-Holocene transition, you have to collaborate with avocationals.
Yes.
And I was like, well, that's the central theme of this moment of time here at ESAF. So
we're all better together.
Yep, fantastic. Thanks so much, Mandy, and thanks for all your work on this meeting.
Thank you.
So, Arthur, we're here driving through a snowstorm somewhere in White Mountain National Forest. How's your ESAF going?
Well, it went well.
Okay. Would you like to highlight some of the highlights?
I'd love to. I'd love to, Gabe. I thought there were a lot of great papers this year. I really appreciated the battlefield archaeology session because I think it's nice to see an ESAF where we're able to get some session themes that are articulating well with the location.
Uh-huh.
And as we've got some locations planned out, potentially or actually, for the next few years, I hope we can focus on that a little more.
Excellent. And there were also, what were some themes you thought in the talks?
There's a lot of GPR, and I think a lot of methodological discussion about remote sensing, which is kind of exciting to bring to the table. And also, it was nice to see some productive discussions following those talks in the Q&A and things like that. It seems like that kind of highlights the networking and the resource of an organization like ESAF, because a lot of people are learning from each other about new technology and how to use it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So I think that was pretty exciting. I think there's good representation across periods. I think there was more historic archaeology than there often is. Probably the battlefield session pulls that in a certain direction.
I think you're right.
You know, often good paleo papers at ESAF.
Absolutely.
Papers again.
A lot of archaeobotany this year.
A lot of archaeobotany, that's true.
But yeah, both macro and micro.
Archaic was well represented.
Yeah, there was.
In the archaeobotany.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought there was exciting stuff going on all around.
good student turnout this year.
Good student turnout. I forget the numbers, but I mean, it was something
30,
like, so it was something like a quarter to a third of the attendees, broadly speaking, were students, which is wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And we brought students.
And we brought students, and they seemed to have a good time.
We had a student win the poster competition.
That's right, MIA.
MIA, yep, with a poster on zooarchaeology in the Middle Woodland. So she did very, very well, so congrats to her.
Yep.
And good location this year.
Yeah, I like Lake George a lot.
Yep.
I've not been to this part of the world before, so that was kind of exciting.
Yeah, and what did you present on? What did we present on?
Presented on a first little sample of the project that we are working on an island in coastal Maine, and in particular starting to get to grips with the lithic assemblages that we see there, a quarry that we've located on the island, and Al Hunzinger helps characterize the stone. So
Dr. Thin Section himself.
Yep. We can keep an eye out for that in other contexts. And then some very preliminary thoughts that this is bringing us to about Middle Woodland lithic acquisition strategies in general. It was a very funny paper, as you could tell me.
Yes, it was. How's everyone in the bag? and students, how did you guys like this year's ESAF?
Oh, it was awesome. I love the one on macrobotany.
Okay. And also, that's Kate Reinhardt's paper, right?
Yes.
Excellent.
And also, man, beavers.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the beaver paper first.
The beaver paper was excellent.
The butterscotch ripple with the beaver trails.
Yeah. So, amazing. Someone want to explain that paper?
Arthur, would you like that problem?
So, basically, they found some interesting stratigraphic patterns while excavating, and came to the conclusion that it probably had to do with the fact that beavers, when they build dams, they tend to the ponds tend to have more vegetation, and then they will, through their regular trek from their burrows into the woods, they'll cut little channels in the vegetation, and as the beavers where their populations declined, their dams broke, and the landscape changed again, but the imprint of the vegetation from those channels made it into the archaeology record. So.
Fantastic. Yeah, so very, very good site transformations paper.
And we should say that's Peyton Stevens from the University of New England, and the reason we're all waiting for her to explain the paper about the archaeology of beavers is that she is an animal behavior major. So this
animal misbehavior. She was
first paper of the conference already spoke to her expertise. Yep. That's satisfying.
Exactly. And we just had we're driving back now, but we do like to report on culinary activities here, and we stopped at a place called Maple Sugar and Spice in Mendon, Vermont. I think it said. And how were your reviews?
Hey, sugar and spice pancakes. Absolutely spectacular.
Fantastic. And that's Matt, our food critic.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And
highly rated.
Excellent. Yeah. And what did you have, Arthur?
I had an omelet. That was great.
Corned hash omelet.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
I think Among Us, that covers what people ordered. Am I right?
Pretty close.
Biscuits and gravy, traditional ESAF food.
Yeah.
Yes, excellent. Good. Well, and we did some field trips this ESAF. Arthur?
Oh, on the way down?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to discuss this? So we stopped in Orono and visited the Hudson Museum and also got to tour the labs at South Stevens. So thanks very much to Bonnie Newsom and Deirdre McGrath at UMaine for setting that up. And then we also stopped the next day at the New York State Museum. And thank you very much to John Loto for facilitating that. We saw more people's highlights from the museum. Was it the mammoth? Mastodon. Yes, mastodon. Sorry. I get my proboscideans mixed up. And then there was a gunboat. Were people excited about the gunboat?
Gunboat was sick. Yeah. In fact, they were still assembling it as we were there. It was really nice.
Yeah. So, Rev War gunboat from Ground Zero.
Yep.
Currently being reassembled near State Museum, and highly recommend it.
Yeah, that is worth going to see. It's pretty cool to see it as the exhibit is coming together, and then it'll be exciting to see the whole thing in a few months' time, it sounds like.
Terrific. And as the snow picks up here, maybe we'll set down the recorder for now, and talk to you soon, listeners.
Archaeology Podcast.